So the gospel then is much more than a simple miracle story in our reading. But first of all, it's seen as the fulfilling of the joyful prophecy of Jeremiah, which is from our first reading. A prophecy of the return of the exiled Jews from Babylon back to their homeland. And the reading from Jeremiah is a hymn of praise and rejoicing because of what God is going to do for his people. In part, he says, I will gather them from the ends of the world with the blind and the lame in their midst. And again, he says, I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road so that none shall stumble. Thus, it's setting the scene for today's gospel. And the gospel passage is actually the last miracle story in Mark. It comes at the end of a long section where Jesus is forming his disciples. It begins in chapter 7 with the healing of a man who is deaf and dumb. And by his being healed, he is being taught how to hear and how to speak, necessary abilities for the Christian disciple, to hear and understand the word of God, and then to go and share the message with others. And later in chapter 8 of Mark's gospel, there is the two-stage healing of a blind man. And that story clearly symbolizes the gradual opening of the disciples' eyes as to the true identity and mission of Jesus. And the whole section ends here with the healing of another blind man, of which we've just heard. So here we have Jesus with his disciples and a large crowd seen leaving Jericho. Jesus is now very near to Jerusalem. In fact, Jericho lies to the northeast and is actually on the way to Jerusalem. And this has great significance for the story to follow. So we have a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, Bar meaning house of, Timaeus we know is his father's name. So he was just known by his surname. He had no real name as such. And he's sitting beside the road. He hears all the noise, is told that Jesus is passing by, and so he begins to call out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What does he want? Money? Healing? He must have heard stories about Jesus as a marvelous healer. But the people around him tell him to shut up and be quiet. He's only a poor beggar. He shouldn't disturb the important person like Jesus is. And that made me wonder how often in our life do people or things or concerns prevent us from coming to Jesus? How often do we have no time for prayer or to read our Bibles? But worse, how often have we blocked the way of someone wanting to approach Jesus? But Bartimaeus, we heard, will not be put off so easily. He really wants to get Jesus' attention. And so he continues to call out even more loudly, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus hears, and he stops. If the man had not kept calling, might Jesus have continued on his journey? We don't know. But how many times during our day does Jesus pass by and we fail to recognize him or fail to call on him? Too often we have fixed ideas as to where we are likely to see him or the forms under which he will appear. It's easy to find him in the sacraments, but it's less easy to find Jesus in a person we don't particularly like. But he can come in any form, in any person, in any situation, even the most unlikely. And that person that screams obscenities at us may well be Jesus challenging us to give a Christian response. And so Jesus' response to Bartimaeus' shouting, call him here, he says. Notice that Jesus doesn't go to the man, nor does he call him directly. It's the people who first told him to be quiet. It's those who are now telling him to come, to give him encouragement to come before Jesus. And perhaps this is how we came to know Jesus too. People call us to him or introduce him to us. So many people can and do lead us to Jesus. There may be parents, family, friends, teachers. It might be a book that you've read, film that you've seen. It may even be a sermon that you've actually heard. And for that, we give thanks. At the same time, there are people waiting to hear Jesus' call to them through us. In our family, our homes, our everyday living, how often do we share our faith? Do we proclaim the gospel? How many people outside of church know that we are committed Christians? Those people who first told Bartimaeus to shut up are now saying, cheer up, take heart, get up, he's calling you. Wonderful words from ordinary people of encouragement of Bartimaeus to be called to a new life. How foolish Bartimaeus would have been if he had stopped shouting because of the crowd's opposition in the first instance. So Bartimaeus jumps up, throws off his cloak, and goes towards Jesus. Now, for a beggar, his cloak would have been also his sleeping mat and his only possession. Even this, Bartimaeus now gets rid of. So very possibly he approaches Jesus naked, with nothing except himself. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, were ashamed of their nakedness after sinning, and they hid from God. Jesus, who died naked on the cross, overturned the shame which sin brought. And so Bartimaeus comes to Jesus naked and without shame, with confidence, in freedom, with nothing. And compare this with the well-dressed rich man who could not follow Jesus because of his desiring more of his money and his wealthy possessions. So face to face now with Jesus, Bartimaeus is asked, what can I do for you? Here we have Jesus, the great high priest, as described in Hebrews, someone who, in sharing our human nature, has a deep understanding of our needs. And yet he asks Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? In last week's gospel, Jesus asked exactly the same question of the apostles James and John. Their answer was, give us the two top spots in the kingdom of your glory. To which they were replied and told very clearly some firm teaching about serving others and not looking for privileges. In the answer to the same question, Bartimaeus gives a very different answer. Rabbi, let me see again. In the context of this story, he is asking for much more than physical sight. And perhaps his prayer is one that we need to make continually. For the secret of life is to be able to see life's real meaning and direction, to be people of vision, to know where God is to be found. And it is a prayer that certainly will be answered as it was here. And Jesus says, go. Your faith, your trust in me has saved you. It's healed you. It's made you whole. And immediately Bartimaeus regained his sight and was able to see. And then what did the man do? He did the only thing a person of vision could do. He followed Jesus on the road. Remember at the beginning of the story, we saw a blind beggar sitting beside the road. This is the person who has not yet met Jesus. He is blind, an impoverished beggar, not moving and off the real track of life. And then at the end of the story, we have a man who can see again, has vision, who knows very clearly where he is going and where he should be going. No longer is he a beggar, but greatly enriched by his encounter with Christ, by that vision that he has. He's no longer sitting passively waiting to get or receive, but now he's actively walking with Jesus. He's no longer beside the road, but he's now on the road, on the way. And as we know, Jesus is the way. He is the truth and life. But as we said, this road leads to Jerusalem. That is, to suffering, to death, but ultimately, as we know, to resurrection. Sometimes being a disciple of Christ can be tough. It can be hard going. And for some in this world, it can lead to death through persecution of their faith. But we have hope in the resurrection of Christ. His victory over suffering and death gives us that hope. So not only is this story an epilogue of the long preceding teaching passage and a summary of all that has just preceded in this part of Mark's gospel, but it's a summary of a Christian's life and pilgrimage. On our own, we are blind and poor, with nothing. As Christians, we have our eyes open to the meaning of life, and some can undergo a radical conversion experience which gives new direction of all that we are and all that we do. So the question is, are we ready to walk with Jesus on the way, all the way to Jerusalem, with that clear vision, with true freedom found only in knowing him who loves us as we are? Are we willing to be transformed by the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord? May we cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. But may we also hear the response, take heart, get up, he is calling you. Amen.